This podcast is brought to you by Podcast Nation.
What does motion sound like? With Kizik Hands Free Shoes, it sounds a little something like this. Experience the magic of motion. Get a free pair of socks with your first order at kizik.com/socks.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
This is Behind the Rose, where Bachelor Nation meets country music and everything in between. Here's your host, Blake Horseman.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to another episode of Behind the Rose podcast. I'm your host, Blake Horseman, here with my buddy, as usual, Eric Bradley. And today we have singer-songwriter Andrew Giannakis. We talked to Andrew about how he ended up on The Voice and the life-changing advice he got from Adam Levine, and how a video of him singing Gone Too Soon in the kitchen went viral on TikTok and became his first single. But first, Eric, let's chat a little bit. We had a big weekend this weekend.
Yeah.
You went to Luke. How was Luke? I heard it was amazing, man.
Yeah, Luke Combs never disappoints. Great seeing, hanging out with that camp. Also seeing good friend of our show, Travis Denning, out there. Finally getting to perform his song after a few.
Yeah, we talked about that. Yeah,
it was really funny. He came off stage, and if you remember on our episode, he was like, I'm going to be so out of shape when I get back out there. And I was like, man, you're still looking a little hefty, a little husky, and out of breath being out here in Colorado. Great.
Especially, I was just going to say that, especially altitude-wise. Yeah, no mm-hmm. shit. Yeah, I loved how you saw G, like, front row, just freaking out.
I don't know whose shoulder she was on for 45 minutes, but she was losing her mind.
Yeah, I heard he put on one heck of a show. He always does, but I think it's brilliant to have him on Thursday because a lot of people wanted to see him, so they bought 3-day passes. You know?
Definitely set the tone for the weekend. And obviously, I left, and then you come in. So
then I came into Country Jam.
Thank God, because I was taking too many pictures with all the ladies and stuff. And
too many podcast fans out there. Yeah, man. Yeah. So I came in. I saw Toby Keith's Friday and then Carrie Underwood Saturday. Toby Keith, I mean, that man just has so many hits and so many sing-alongs. And I mean, he did great. It was a great show. But I was thoroughly impressed with Carrie Underwood. We all know she's crazy talented. Like, we know this, you know, like, but I wasn't too excited for her concerts because she has low energy music. She does. She has low energy, kind of love songs. But man, her vocal performance was one of the best I've ever seen. It was truly incredible. Like, the crowd, after every like solo, you know, she'd like hold a note, like the crowd would just go nuts clapping. Like, it was very impressive. I'd never seen her live, so it was very impressive.
And I was kind of bummed leaving early because our buddy Hardy, he played on Friday night right before Toby, and I've seen him before, and his energy and his shows are incredible.
It's like a rock show.
You haven't seen him, I don't think, live, right?
That was my first time.
So I wanted to see your impressions on him. And then obviously Saturday night, Parker McCollum and Kip Moore performed, and those two go hard. Very interesting to set those two setting the tone for Carrie Underwood.
Yeah, it was agreed. I definitely, Hardy's like a rock show. Like, Hardy is like full on rock show. Even his music, in a sense, is kind of more rock than country. So he was really good. You know who else got energy wise was pretty wild? Craig Morgan. He climbed.
I saw he hopped into the stands, and that's not like him.
He hopped in the stands and he climbed all the way up almost the scaffolding. He climbed the scaffolding and was singing while on the scaffolding.
Last person I saw do that was Jared Leto.
Jared Leto.
He went like about 80 feet up in the air, didn't miss a beat.
It was impressive. So it's cool. And then obviously Parker McCollum and Kip Moore crushed it.
Did you happen to catch Hardy out at Cadillac Ranch playing cornhole?
No.
Yeah, he went out there and was playing cornhole before his set on Friday.
No, and I'd say I didn't go to Cadillac Ranch Friday. Damn. I went Friday night after party. That place is nuts.
I bet.
But I didn't go before. Yeah. Cadillac Ranch, if you've never been to Country Jam, guys, it's like a dance floor in the middle of the campgrounds, and it goes off.
It's an after-hours club.
It's like, because it's literally on the way back to the campsites from the concert. So everybody goes there, and it's just insane. Just insane. There's a lot of fun. Country Jam's a good time if you've never been.
Yeah. Also, I guess there's a few other things to talk about that are relevant this week. What are your thoughts on all this PPP stuff coming out in Bachelor Nation?
Oh man, I know. I saw that like it happened like over the weekend, right? I think it kind of people started.
I think it came out pretty much yesterday.
Or was it just yesterday? Yeah,
hitting TMZ and everything. And I get some of it. Like Colton, I know. Like you know, yeah, he supports a foundation. He's not in the wrong, but it's like Tayshia hiring an assistant with the money.
Mm-hmm. And Ari and Lauren.
Yeah, I mean, Ari didn't need it.
Oh, they bought a second home during quarantine.
Are we going to see that you took out your 20K?
No.
Good.
Yeah, no, I did not. And it's funny because we talked about it. I remember us talking about it.
I remember us talking about it early, and I was like, you know, you could apply for this.
It was available. Even to the point where we did lose a lot of money in quarantine. Like, we were traveling DJing.
Well, and me, live events with athletes and autograph signings and just everything.
And I mean, because you broke it down one day. You like, how many shows do you think we've lost out on? Like, dude, over 100 shows, probably,
mm-hmm.
DJing-wise. I could have probably... I, at the time, you included, knew more people who had basically lost their jobs. Like, you lost your job, basically. Like, your jobs were live, you know.
Yeah, I went 13 months without a check, basically. Yeah. The reason why I found out and got very knowledgeable about it, because, like, all my friends in the touring industry, like, the musicians, the artists, the, mm-hmm. you know, everyone was going without it. And it's now you see, like, people taking advantage of it. And,
mm-hmm. That's what's frustrating. Kind of because, like, yeah, exactly. Because, yeah, I didn't do it because I was like, you know what? I know more friends who have lost their job than have jobs right now. And I'm one of the lucky ones who can still make a living. So I'm like, I just didn't feel right. Like, it just, yeah, it didn't feel right.
Even if you lost like influencer deals or social media deals, like the one or two you would have a month, like,
could get me through not traveling. Yeah.
It still covered everything that mm-hmm. people weren't getting.
Mm-hmm. And don't get me wrong, that it did kind of die down. Like, I mean, kind of. But because I was still a lot of, you know, obviously Instagram was still very heavily. I mean, everybody was mm-hmm. on Instagram and on social media.
That was the only way to market for mm-hmm. brands.
Yeah, exactly. So, yeah, it's a little frustrating to see, especially the names that we're seeing right now are mm-hmm. very successful people in Bachelor Nation. Like, we're not seeing like people, you know, who like didn't get much screen time or whatever, or don't have a huge following. Like, these people have very large followings. But yeah, it's a little frustrating to see. But at the same time, they didn't break any rules. They didn't break any laws. They found the loophole and it sucks. It's fucked up. But obviously, we needed like better, like, I don't know the way to put it, not laws, but like we need to figure out a way, if this ever happens again, like not have.
Yeah.
You know,
because Delta, like, strain, stay away.
Yeah, exactly. So
should we get into any VIP rumor spoilers?
I mean, I don't know, because I don't want to spoil anybody.
I don't want to take the Reality Steve route.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. Yeah.
I'm actually excited to I love Paradise.
I've never really watched one until mine. No, that's not true.
Even though my favorite season ever was watching you just go down in flames.
Kicked in the dick for just 10 hours a day. I mean, I guess we can say this. 40 people hit the beach, which is an insane amount. I want to say only like 20-something, maybe 30 hit on my season. So a lot of people in and out.
Interesting couples, rumors out there.
Yeah, yeah. And we're just going to hear more soon, but it's going to be interesting season.
Some road dogs going down.
Maybe we don't know. Maybe I don't know. Okay. We've heard a lot. It's gonna be interesting. I mean, that starts in a month, so that'll be fun.
That's crazy.
Paradise be fun to recap.
Yep. And then 4th of July weekend coming up. What are your plans, boys?
Pumped. So we honestly didn't have any we had plans.
Nothing until 4 days ago.
4 days ago, all of a sudden we got booked to play up at Lake of the Ozarks, baby. We'll be up at the lake.
And we're doing two shows. If you guys are in that area, Missouri, Nebraska, come far and wide.
Come out. It's going to be a blast. I'll post about it today. We're playing a afternoon set
at Backwater Jack's from 2 to 4.
Yep.
That night, be at Shady Gator from 10 to midnight, which I hear is wild.
Yeah, it's going to be so fun. And it's going to be 4th of July weekend. I'm pumped. I've never been to Lake. You've never been either, right?
I've never been to Ozarks. Yeah.
Lake of the Ozarks, baby. It's going to be so fun. Never been. So that's going to be a blast. I'm so looking forward to this weekend. It's gonna be a good one. So
yeah. So yeah. Eddie's going to be loving us when Blake has his Monday voice.
Yeah. I'm definitely going to be
next week.
Come on. Don't yell too much. Kind of just be
two shows.
And the thing that's the worst is we typically record the commercials, on Monday. So
to do that on Friday or Saturday before he goes on.
Before you go, because if you do them on Monday, then by Thursday, the episode sounds all right, but you're like,
my God, guys.
Yeah. Let me tell you about what gets me through my traveling trips.
You know, I'll be sure to bring all our gear up to Lake of the Ozarks, maybe film it Friday. before we get out on the on the stage Saturday. So what are you doing for 4th, Eddie? You doing anything?
I'm probably going to stay around here. I just got back literally 5 minutes before we recorded this show from D.C. Went up in search of immorality because I live in Virginia, which is the Bible Belt.
I love that.
Everything fun is illegal here. So I drove up to D.C., met up with a buddy, and there's a great MGM casino there. And so we gambled all day. And dude, I made some pretty good money.
Did you? Oh, hell yeah.
I
hit a streak.
Yeah, I doubled up.
Normally, Eddie plays very scared at a table. It's pretty easy to bully him.
Oh, you'll love this, though. I bullied a bully and crushed him. Wiped him out. He went all in against me, and then I acted all coy, like, oh man, sorry, I got 4 sixes. So,
and you got him on the flop, right?
I flopped.
That's
him,
crazy.
Oh, that's awesome.
That's the best when you could slow roll quads.
I know. I had a pair of sixes in my hand, and then the flop was six something six. And so I bet, of course, $6. Nice little conservative bet. And everybody called me. And then it ended up, the board ended up having a straight draw. And I knew this guy had it.
Mm-hmm.
And so I thought I'd bet a little just so I didn't look stupid. So I bet like $10. And he called all in.
Oh, and you were just like,
got him.
I hesitated, like I was scared. And I was like, I'll call. And then he flipped the straight and was like standing up like, ha ha. And I've just got sixes, four of them. It was fun, dude. That made my heart was pounding. Once you see those four, you're like, dude, nobody ever gets four of
a kind.
So that was like a $400 pot.
There you go.
That I took. So
nice. Well, good.
Did that contribute to more immorality?
No, because I was still Virginia. I was still in Virginia. We were in Alexandria. And apparently for actual contact with your nudity, you got to go to Maryland. And that's another.
I'm going to write. I just wrote it down. That's a country song. Search for Immorality. That's a country song right there. I just wrote it down.
So is contact with nudity.
Search for Immorality.
I'll just be hanging around the beach by myself.
It's not too bad. It could be worse, I guess.
Everyone meet Eddie Haskell. That is him in rare form.
Oh my God, that was great.
I tried to keep it until, yeah, I mean, why'd you ask?
I say, now we got to put that E on there for sure.
And now, yeah, he was warning us about, like, boys, we didn't cuss at all on this one.
Yeah, we listened to the Andrew Janakis episode after we recorded. I was like, guys, we're not going to have to put an explicit tag on this one unless you screw it up in the intro.
Fuck all that right. up.
Well, it's going to have an E on it now.
Well, fuck shit, gosh. Come on.
I mean, if we're going, let's go big, right?
Oh, man. That's funny.
Oh, Jesus. Cool.
But yes, happy 4th of July and safe travels.
Yep. Everyone be safe out there. Have fun.
Yeah, have a safe 4th of July out
be
there,
be responsible. Don't go searching for immorality.
Let it come to you.
If you do.
And if you are looking for that, come to the Ozarks this weekend.
It's going to be a fun weekend.
Lots of $20 bills. Blake will have a wallet full of 20s on Monday.
Oh man. Okay, and with that, and now.
Good night, everybody.
Now our conversation with Andrew Janakis coming up behind the rows. You come around and ask and you leave with the sunlight.
Just when it's getting good, you hit me with a goodbye. Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's kazoo concert in Kansas City, go Kevin, or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
Andrew Janakis, thanks for coming on, man.
Yeah, man, thanks for having me.
Absolutely. Congrats on all the success lately, man. It's been a big year for you, man.
You know, man, it's like still honestly kind of overwhelming, but it's something that, you know, it happens so fast. You just got to continue to try to take the punches and just roll with everything. And that's kind of where I'm at now. Playing some shows and just trying to get out there as much as possible.
You really did kind of, basically you blew up in quarantine. So it's kind of a unique, I guess, story or career path, if you will. What was that like? Like, cause you couldn't, a lot of people, you know, they blow up or they have their song go number one or whatever it is. And then they can go out and sing it in front of people and you couldn't do that. So like, how frustrating was that for you?
Honestly, that was like, and it's still kind of a frustrating part. I wouldn't say like too much cause you know, some stuff is opening up. Mm-hmm. But it was really hard to figure out what to do with that momentum that we were getting. You know, like you said, because most times you could have a moment like that and you could be like, all right, well, hey, I'm going to put on some shows. Y'all sell these tickets and who knows what would happen.
Yeah.
But we could just continue to put it out on social media and do that. And, you know, I've honestly, I can say it and I feel terrible having to say it, but I've been slacking, man, on my socials, but I've just been so busy with everything else in the music industry, writing and radio and just meeting so many new people that, that I'm just kind of like wrapping my head around how everything works. So I wouldn't say I was taking a break, but I was like, just trying to juggle all that at one time, being a new thing it's kind of difficult. So, I've been slacking on my socials, man, but I've been actually filming stuff the past couple of weeks for some content and whatnot. So
yeah, that's good.
Excited
because it's kind of pretty cool. You more or less kind of did blow up on TikTok. Like that was the whole thing. Your song Gone Too Soon. First of all, before we get into the whole TikTok thing, that song, man, what did you write that in quarantine?
We wrote that literally right before everything happened. So we wrote that in January, and then like February, March is when everything started kind of happening. Yeah. So it was right before, but we actually had another writer's retreat in April or May, something like that, a couple months later. And we had some guys come out and did it again, but it was crazy, man.
Yeah. What was the process like for writing that song? Like, did it come quickly or was it like something you had kind of in the notebook for a while?
No, man, we were in that room for probably 6.5-7 hours. It was a heavy day. But at the end of it, when we were done with it, we were just like, all right, well, there's something special about this song.
We'll be right back.
We just sat on it for the longest time and finally was like, all right, I'm going to cut it. Like, I'm just going to release it. Why not? And, you know, I wasn't meaning to go viral.
Nobody ever really is. Yeah.
I was just putting out content for my followers to try to connect to. And I was just lucky enough to have them connect to a song, but man, it's incredible to have the support that I've had and still continue to have from my followers, man. I owe everything to them because without them, I wouldn't be sitting here talking to you guys today. Like it's pretty crazy. It's very, very grounding and very humbling thing, man. It's nuts. Like,
yeah, it's crazy.
Things taking years. Took a couple months and it's just blessed, man.
Yeah. And you had mentioned that you had been having some shows come back recently. How have they gone since, have these been your first shows out of quarantine, like this June run you went on?
Yeah, these have been like, and most of them have just been acoustic. We've got some full band stuff coming up, but it's, you know, it's crazy to go to these different cities and have a couple hundred people come out to a city that I've never been to. And I've only been doing this for 2.5-3 years now. Mm-hmm. And, you know, it's very humbling for that to happen. Not only that, but have 200-400 people come out and just about everybody sing every word to that song.
I was just going to say, that's got to be a cool feeling.
Not only that song, but like the EP and the EP before I even signed, my first EP before I even signed, you know, for them to know all those songs, it's like, what?
Yeah. Like, it's gotta be an incredible feeling, man. Yeah.
It's pretty cool. I try not to like cry on stage.
Nobody would blame you though, man. Yeah. I would probably tear up on stage if somebody was singing like words that you created, you know, and like a song that you created. It's gonna be a cool feeling.
Especially coming out after what all of us just went through.
Yeah, man. And especially, you know, having people come up and ask for autographs and pictures, and it's like, it's still weird for me, but but it, like, you know, so many people meet me and they're like, oh my gosh, you're so sweet and you're so humble. And I'm like, well, I kind of have to be, man. Like, I owe y'all every, like, of course I'd spend 2 hours taking pictures with them if I.
Yep. I love hearing that and I hate hearing that because I have to deal with that with Blake. And I'm like, dude, it's okay to say no, let's go, bro.
And I'm like, nope, like, I'm going to take every
Blake,
photo.
Blake will sit there for like an hour and a half after a show just taking pictures with everyone. Yeah. But it, you got to do that.
You got to show love for love is shown.
Yeah, because they show love to you guys.
I mean, we're able to do what we love because of them, mm-hmm. you know? Not many people can say that, yeah.
You don't work a day in your life if you're doing what you love.
Yeah.
And man, I get to write music every single day, perform on the weekends, and have people sing my music back to me. It don't get much better than that, man. And get paid to do it. Come on.
Yeah, right? Right. Yeah. And hang out with your buddies. Like,
yeah. Exactly. Like,
yeah. So you mentioned, you know, how you rate your own songs and everything. What is your songwriting process? And has that always come pretty naturally to you?
Oh, man. I wouldn't say it came naturally. I think it kind of flows a little bit differently now, but I didn't really start writing until I was 25.
Oh, okay.
So about 2 years ago, my first EP with, like, She Ain't Gone, Stick Around, Walking Shoes. Those were the first songs that I've written. Besides Southern Skies on that EP was the actual first song that I'd ever written. And then Stick Around, She Ain't Gone, and whatever the other one on there is. I think those are the only three that I wrote. The other two were pitched to me.
Gotcha.
But yeah, man, you know, it's definitely opened up so many doors that I didn't, because I didn't know that I was a musician. You know, I'd love to sing, but I didn't think that this would be like an opportunity that I got to have to do it as a job.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm out 3-4 times a week and writing music, and I'll have conversations with people, and it almost, like, you look so rude, but you almost, like, in the middle of it, you hear something, you get out your phone and you jot it down. Then you're like, is everything okay? It's like, yeah, yeah, I just heard, no, I heard something.
Yeah. And I'm just going to steal that line you just had and make millions of it.
I was with a buddy last night and we were hanging out, and, you know, I heard When the Whiskey Runs Out, and I wrote it down, and I think we should write that today. That's not how that happened. But, but you know, it happens that, like, everywhere that I go, even when I'm at home, like, talking to my wife, we'll be talking and I'll take my phone out and she'll say something and I'll just, like, jot it down real quick. And she's like, you just heard of a song, didn't you? And I'm like, I do.
We'll be right back. What would you say your, like, inspirations are when it comes to music? You know, like, what did you grow up kind of listening to and whatnot?
Man, I grew up listening to a lot of different stuff. I mean, rock, country, rap. I mean, it just depended on, like, the day that I was on, honestly, or who I was with. But, you know, my dad and I would listen to everything from country to rock, all the way to, like, Lynyrd Skynyrd, The Eagles, Journey, like, all the, like, good rock.
Mm-hmm.
But country, man, I really, like, grew up on country. I listened to that more than probably anything. But, you know, Brad Paisley, Keith Urban, Keith Whitley, Dierks Bentley, Billy Currington, Blake Shelton. I mean, all the guys, Jason Aldean, and, you know, some of the older guys too. That was probably, like, my main focus of guy. But I never thought that I would be able to, like, do this or, like, do what they do.
Mm-hmm. You really started, I guess, probably I would say The Voice. Right? Is that when you were like, wait, maybe I could do this for a living? Is that kind of how that worked?
Yeah. So when I got off The Voice and when I got home, I was like, okay, well, I had, like, a little bit more confidence in myself because The Voice was the first time, my blind audition was the first time I ever sang on a stage in front
no
of
no way.
Wow.
So I was terrified. But, you know, it gave me that confidence boost to go, well, maybe I am good enough to do this. And maybe I could pursue music. And I had the option that every person that comes off one of those shows has. You take that little bit of momentum that you got and you just freaking run with it. And you don't look back at all. And you just, everything that you make goes back into music. And you're broke as hell for a long time. But one day, something, like, you never know when it's going to happen.
Like one day your wife's going to film you cooking, singing, bust on TikTok and it's going to blow up, you know?
It blows up, you know? Yeah. But don't go off that. But
don't try that at home. But
yeah, man, you know, it's a grind. Like it's still a grind, man. Like I feel, and I don't want to say like, I feel like people feel this about me, but you know, I feel like some people are probably like, oh, well, they signed a record deal. Like they don't have to work as hard now. It's like, no, you got to work hard.
Oh, yeah.
Like
true. Very true.
Before you're independent, you've got a team of like 3, 4, 5 people. You sign that piece of paper, you got a team of like 60. And
it's a very you know, good point.
Yeah, man. You know, you have to work even harder to keep every, and you know, you don't have to keep everybody on your team happy, but I look at my team as family, and if your family's happy, then you're doing well.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, man, you know, it's a lot to think about. And that's why I said it like a bit ago, like it's been hard to juggle everything, keep up with social media while writing, while performing, while going out of town on the weekends, and having a 5-year-old too, man, like putting that in the midst of it. It's just like, he hates it. I don't want to say he hates it because he loves it. Right. But you know, when Friday comes around and he sees me packing a bag because he knows I'm going to be gone till Sunday or Monday, he's like, do you really have to leave? Like, please, Daddy, stay this weekend.
I'm like, that'd be so hard. Oh my God, that'd be hard.
And then, you know, I'm driving to the airport bawling my freaking eyes out.
Mm-hmm. Totally, dude. Totally. I can't imagine. That'd be so yeah. hard to leave.
But he's the reason that I do everything.
Mm-hmm. Great motivation.
Yeah, for sure. So let's talk a little bit more about The Voice. How did you get on The Voice? I think I read somewhere that it was like they saw you on like one of your socials. Like socials played a big part in your career. Like there's like a theme throughout your career.
So yeah, man, I was already like talking to my wife, who was my girlfriend at the time. We were talking and we were just like, she was like, you know, you should try out for one of these shows like American Idol or America's Got Talent, something like that. And maybe 2 weeks later, The Voice sent me an email and they were like, hey, I'm a scout. We'd love to give you an audition in Atlanta. We'd love for you to audition in Atlanta while we're there. And so I went, I auditioned, and you know, it happened like everything else. You know, you go through the stages of doing these auditions and you have to go through executives and all these different things. But you know, you meet so many different people and so many different musicians. It's a really cool opportunity. A few months before that, I had started posting like just acoustic covers of me singing and playing. And that's what got their attention. They were like, hey, we've seen these. We love your sound. We'd love for you to audition in Atlanta. And it kind of started there and made it lives, you know.
Yeah.
And Adam came up to me when I got eliminated. And he's part of the reason that I really pursued it heavy. And he came up to me and I don't know if it's like on camera, you can't hear our audio, but we're like saying bye on stage and he dabs me up and he's like, move to Nashville. And I promise you, you will sign a record deal within like 6 months, man. He's like, there's no way you won't.
Wow.
And I was just like, thanks, man. I appreciate that. I was home the next day in Georgia by 11 a.m. And that's when I had the choice. I was like, all right, I either go back to the regular 9-to-5, which I hated, or back to serving tables or bartending. And I didn't hate doing that. I love doing that, honestly. But I was like, nah, man, I don't want to do that. We're gonna see what we can do. Got with the right people, started writing music. One of my best friends now, Alex Pennington Smith, he wrote my first EP with me. And I just never looked back, man. I love
that's pretty cool.
And you know, my wife plays a huge role in the like all of my socials before I signed. You know, she's not too involved with it now. She still is a little bit. But we had this team, man, and we were just able to do some incredible things. And I'm extremely blessed, man. Like there's no words for it ever. It's truly it's unbelievable.
No, man, it's pretty cool. You guys seem like you got a good team around you and everything, man. It's so cool. Like you can actually almost pinpoint the moment where it was like, do I do this or do I don't, you know, do I not? And then it was pretty cool that Adam had a big,
and it's crazy. Like for those that are listening, Adam is Adam Levine. Like it's not just an Adam off the streets. Yeah. Like, Yeah. Might have heard of him and his group Maroon 5, but
you probably should have.
You should look him up.
Look it up, Adam Levine on YouTube.
Google him.
Definitely, obviously that moment helped you, but just that whole experience on The Voice gave you kind of a confidence more or less to really pursue, I guess, this career.
It made me go, maybe I'm good enough to do this.
And it's like, at that time, you're still young enough. It's like, give it a shot. YOLO, right? You only live once. Like, go for it.
YOLO. Like, what kind of, I'm 28 in September. And I was like, man, if I don't do it now.
Yeah. You're going to regret it.
Yeah.
I'm going to lose whatever opportunity there is to come, which I found my opportunity. And, now we just got to continue.
Yeah, roll with it. It's so cool to hear, because it's kind of a theme we've had, you know, a lot of other musicians on as well. Like, you're a very talented man. Like, you know, you're like you said, you're like, I knew I could sing, but I didn't know, you know, like if I could do it for a living. And that is a theme. Like, a lot of people, even though they're so supremely talented, they still need that little nudge or that little confidence boost. So, like, listeners, remember that back home. If you don't think you need that little confidence boost, you know, something small can completely change your life, no matter how talented you think you are, you aren't. Yeah, it's pretty cool.
And the biggest thing also is manifestation, speaking things into existence, which is manifestation, but actually speaking it into existence and saying it out loud in front of people. When I first got off The Voice, I went up to my band that I had back home, and I was like, I'm going to sign a record deal within 3 years. Y'all watch it. And they were all like, okay. I was like, dude, I was like, I don't know how it's going to happen. I was like, but I'll sign a record deal within 3 years. I'll move to Nashville within 2. And we signed a record deal within a year and a half.
Wow.
Man, even if I wouldn't have had that moment on TikTok, that wouldn't, like, I wasn't trying to go viral. I was just putting content. I would have done, I'd have put another 45, 50 videos up, and we'd still be doing the same thing.
Mm-hmm.
But God, man, it's pretty crazy how everything kind of happens. And God works in the complete most mysterious ways, man. There is no power on earth that could have done what it's done for my life and my family's other than this, man, for sure.
I love that you mentioned manifestation, because I'm a believer in that as well. Like, putting it out in the universe. Yeah. Huge believer in that. So that's pretty cool that you think that, like, played a part in your career and everything, and your success.
And timing is everything, man. When it's the right time, it'll happen. You just got to be patient.
If you put it into your head and you say that you can do it, not like, not if or how, but when, and just do it. Mm-hmm. Like, we're going to do this. It's not, oh, if we do it like this, it's like, no, we're going to do it. You put it in your brain that way, man. And don't let anything stand in your way. Don't let, like, people are going to get pissed. There's going to be people who believe in it and don't believe in it. And you just have to roll with the punches. And if you believe in yourself, other people are going to believe in you.
Very true.
That's how it's going to spark.
Amen, man. So what do you got coming up? Do you got some new music? I know you got some dates still out there you're going to work on, right?
Have some dates in July, opening up for Parker McCollum, doing an opening up thing for Lady A in St. Louis. Nice. So super, super stoked for those, man. Have some more stuff coming up. I can't really say too much.
Yeah, I figured that.
about music, but I have been writing a lot.
Awesome.
So we'll just say that.
Yeah.
Good, man. And I'm pretty sure we'll see you out here in Denver soon.
Yeah, we'll see you.
You'll probably be playing the Grizzly Rose.
Yeah, the Grizzly Rose, man. I mean, I'm sure, soon we'll see you at the Grizzly Rose for sure at some point.
Absolutely.
Yeah. So, man, everybody go check out his new EP and go check out Gone Too Soon. He's going to be around for a while. This is just the beginning, man. We're excited. We're excited to watch you, man. And we'll have you on again when you drop another, we'll keep having you on. So.
No, I appreciate you guys for having me, man. It really, it means a ton for y'all to jump on and see my vision this early. So I appreciate you guys.
Yeah.
Can't wait to be like, we had him on our pod years ago. I can't wait to be that guy. Yeah.
And we have a great mutual friend between all of us. Oh, Boogie Tate.
Oh,
Boogie.
I was just talking.
He just called me. Like, that's why I was like, did he? Yeah, he's just called me, which is kind of weird.
Oh, that's great.
Dude, go call him back and be like, I just had a podcast with Janakis.
Yeah. Yeah, because I swear I always see, like, you hanging out with, like, Nate and Rowdy and stuff and Boogie.
Yeah.
Dude, yeah, we know those guys pretty good.
Love, man. Rowdy's my boy. That's my fishing buddy right there.
Yeah, I was just with him. We were just together at Country Jam.
He's been busy. I lost my fishing dude. So if this Rob, we got to go fishing, man.
Yeah, he's going to be pretty busy again now, I guess. I mean, playing with Luke Combs, that's
Manifestation. We'll be opening up for Luke next year. Come on.
There you go.
Yeah.
Yeah, I remember this. We're going to cut that right there, and we'll play it when you are.
Luke's going to be doing the stadiums next year probably, so.
Let's go.
Awesome, man. We'll see you opening for Luke here in Denver next year. Awesome, man. Well, again, thanks for coming on, man, and we can't wait to watch what you do.
Appreciate you guys.
Behind the Rose is recorded live at the world famous Grizzly Rose or wherever we happen to be. Be sure to go check out our Instagram at Behind the Rose Podcast and follow us so you always know when we drop a new episode. And give us all 5 of those stars. Thanks for listening, and we'll see you next time, Behind the Rose.